And happy Independence Day in most time zones. Not Hawaii yet, but it's getting close there too. And we will have a live 4th of July program for you. I'll tell you what else is strange. Just saying 4th of July already. Man, it just feels like 2017 just started. Unbelievable. I was looking at my calendar today with Tom. The events we're going to and the schedule we've got and all the things going to Denver doing Beyond Belief. And when you look at a calendar like that, and you look at July and August, September, October, it's really strange because you realize that the year's almost gone. And heck, you know, you'll be back in St. Louis. It'll be Thanksgiving, and we'll be into the holidays again, talking about 2018. Wow. Just unbelievable. Anyways, lots to talk with you about. Open lines. Lines are open. Skype is open at George97313 as well. The big story tonight, North Korea has tested another missile. This one, they say, is capable of intercontinental flight. You know what that means. They claim it could hit Alaska. It's getting way too close, folks. And something's going to happen. I feel it in my bones. If you do too, share that with me. Plus other open line calls, like strange things that have happened to you. Check in with me next on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Open lines this hour, just this hour. And then we've got a live program again for you on the 4th of July. And as we just roll into the week already, but let's go to the calls. Let's pick it up by going to Tim in Tulsa, Oklahoma, happens to be a first-time caller. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Hi, guys. Happy 4th.
You too.
My question relates to the natives and their use of the weaponry and stuff. I guess I'm wondering, did they try and emulate the weaponry of the invaders, such as trying to smelt swords or rebuild like trebuchet or anything like that?
The weaponry in those days was pretty primitive, but they did have swords and knives and bows and arrows to do what they had to do, and they used them too, because, you know, as Rick was saying, they did annihilate a lot of people that came here from abroad, to be sure. Perry in Santa Barbara, California, welcome to the show. Perry, it's your turn.
Oh, happy Independence Day, George.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to talk to you, my friend. I am very, very scared. I'm not scared, but I'm alarmed at this latest missile launch that could reach Alaska.
It's scary stuff.
This guy, you know, I was thinking earlier when you were talking about North Korea, either was this night or last night, is that, boy, this can really start World War III.
Yep. Yep.
And that is the
so my guest that I had in news, Charles R. Smith, who's an expert in this region, doesn't think this is going to escalate. But I just have a weird feeling about all this. I just don't know how long diplomacy will work because it's not working.
Well, you know, I appreciate all your experts on there. And just all of them, Jerry Corsi and, you know, and everyone. I think we're running out of time. And it's just a matter of just, you know, so many weeks before, or months, hopefully months, but before they become a real threat, you know. I called Connie
Willis. Yeah.
Oh, geez, it was about 2 months ago, and I said, boy, I don't know when it's going to happen, but this thing is going to get out of hand.
Yep, you are right.
We're going to fire probably warning missiles across their territory there. I mean, they're rough. Oh, this is just, you know, and I'm, you know, I just heard this on CBS and then you announced it as well. So what do you think we could do, George?
Well, the question is, do we take him out by himself?
Yeah.
Because we can't start in full-scale war against the country. That's just not going to work.
Yeah.
And hopefully, what I would hope to happen is that the North Koreans from within have a coup or something, and they get him out. You know, most of the countries where we've gotten involved, it's gotten screwed up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Iraq and Afghanistan, like we were talking about last night, and so many others.
Syria.
And in this case, I think this guy getting out might be the best thing that's happened of all the countries we've been involved in. But I would love for it to happen internally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This guy is, you know, he's crazy like a fox, you know, George.
Yeah, and that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is absolutely dangerous. And, boy, you know, our president, we should pray for him. And, you know, because, my God, this is our...
Well, and see, that was my point last night. We go down the middle here. I don't pick sides. But I got chastised from pro-Trump people yesterday who thought I was picking on him. I'm not. I want him to succeed. We're inviting him on the show. I hope to God he comes on and, you know, takes phone calls and everything else. I want him to be a great president. But what I don't want him doing is in crises like this with North Korea and everything else to play around and do these smartphone tweets that are just ridiculous. I mean, we need somebody who is a leader who's going to get this thing done without worrying about, you know, whether, you know, there's a video of me beating up some picture of a guy that we pretended was with CNN.
Yeah, yeah. We really, you know, our listening audience here, I really rely on Jerry Corsi and all the other,
yes,
and of course,
the good people.
Well. You know what? You know, I think this, you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, of course.
Of course, 1962.
Yeah. I was born in 1965, but I still feel the full impact of JFK's, you know, President Kennedy's assassination as well.
And he was presidential. He got us through, and Khrushchev, what could have been a nuke war of biblical proportions.
You know, George, I'm going to leave you. I want to let the other callers on here, but I just wanted to say one more thing.
Sure.
That if it wasn't for John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, we wouldn't be here right now.
No, that's right. No, you're absolutely right. He was able to get this done. We took our missiles out of Turkey, at least some of them, and we allowed Khrushchev to save face and everything else. But this situation with North Korea is getting out of hand. I mean, the guy's done videos blowing up Los Angeles, blowing up the White House. I mean, you don't do that. You don't do that. I mean, that's crazy. And again, getting back to our president, all I'm asking for is for him to just do what he promised he was going to do when he got elected and just to stop with the silly tweets and things like that. You want to tweet information? He calls himself the new president of because of tweeting. He's in the new age. That's fine. But, you know, don't get in the muck of things like this. It just, nobody wins, and it makes you look silly. Barry in Rock Hills, South Carolina, east of the Rockies, weeks away from Everett, Washington.
I tell you what, I got my tickets to the show, and they're on the front row. You're not going to believe it. I called in and I had four cancellations on the front row, and I took two of them, and I'll be right there, buddy.
What do you mean there's four cancellations in the front row? Nobody cancels my shows.
Well, in that case, they kicked them out so I could get on the front row.
Maybe you intimidated people or something.
Listen, George, Rick was right. I'm telling you. All you have to do is sail right out of the mouth of the Mediterranean Sea, southwest a little bit by the Azores and the Cape Verde Islands, and due west you go, and you go right in the Gulf of Mexico, and the Gulf Stream picks you up right there and takes you right by the Carolinas.
There
right
you are.
Down by Ireland and right back in the Mediterranean you go.
That area, by the way, South Carolina, is gorgeous.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, North Carolina is the beautiful state, George. I've been up there in Asheville where you were.
Yep.
I wish you would have taken time or your driver to take you along the Blue Ridge Parkway. It's only an hour out of the way back to Charlotte. And you would have been blown away. It's absolutely unbelievable. Martha and I are going up there in 3 weeks. We've got a painting that's being auctioned off at an auction house up there, and they keep your fingers crossed and bring about $100,000. But
wow.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. But Rick was right. People have been coming over here long before Columbus, and the thing is, he got credit, George, because that's about the time they started keeping history books.
Aha.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
His timing was perfect.
That timing was perfect. That's exactly right.
All right, Barry. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Okay, buddy. I'll let you go. And that Tommy, too, and all the gang at Coast to Coast and the Cornelius and Alexandria, Louisiana.
We've got this live stage show, July 29th in Everett, Washington. And Barry, who lives in South Carolina, is going all the way out there. And then he claims that he's coming to our studio in L.A. Tom, did you arrange that?
What did you just say?
Barry is coming to the studio in L.A.
Well, the show's in Washington, so he's going to be lost.
No, he's coming here afterward.
Did
you arrange that?
No, I did not. I don't know about this. I got to talk to Barry.
He loves you.
He loves you, too. He loves all of us.
I know. So what are you going to do about it?
Did he say $100,000?
If they could sell that artifact of theirs.
Whoa, yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. He also said there were 4 ticket cancellations in the front row, and he's picked up 2 of them. So
really?
Hopefully the other 2 have been picked up. There's only 16 seats left. That's it.
That's what they said.
I think some of those are allocated for handicapped people.
Yes, they have to do that.
Of course they do.
So we have a text from Mara in Austin, Texas. She says, simple question. Why haven't we taken out the North Korean leader yet?
Well, that's a good question.
Great question.
There are some issues here. You've got China, and you got to handle this very diplomatically. Something's got to be done. There's no question about it. If this guy now has the capability of hitting Alaska with a missile, and they do have nukes, and he does threaten. Something's got to be done, and we need to send Dennis Rodman back there again.
So hypothetically,
Dennis, get this fixed, would you?
Hypothetically, Trump says we're going to take him out. Does he go to the other leaders and say this is what we're doing?
He probably will. I'm sure our military has everything plotted out. You know, we've got 35,000 U.S. troops in South Korea right now. They are at risk because conventionally. He's going to send missiles into South Korea like you can't imagine. And we can't take all those installations out. Here's a guy who, if you fall asleep at one of his little meetings, you don't wake up.
Could you imagine?
It's history. And
it's bad news.
I'm pretty sure he killed his half-brother with that poisonous spray at that airport. That happened a few months ago because that brother was the heir apparent. People thought he's the one who was going to run North Korea. He should have. We all could have gotten along with that guy.
He's not human. I wouldn't be surprised if we take him out like real soon.
We'll just see. There's going to be ramifications either way. I mean, this is not going to be easy. I really wish China would step up to the plate and become the hero here and fix this. But they can't control this guy.
Someone's got to control him. I'm sure in the end.
I don't even think his wife can control him. This guy is out of control.
Yeah, when you think about it, though, it's one guy.
I put in a request. I didn't tell you or Lisa this. I put in a request through the North Korean embassy overseas in one of the countries to do an interview with him.
You did?
Yeah, and they never responded to me. I gave him my personal email address and everything, and I never got anything back.
If Kim Jong-un was sitting right here, what is the first question you would ask him?
Why do you hate everybody?
Great question.
You know what?
Great question.
Then I'd give him a signed basketball from the Los Angeles Lakers, and he'd go, well, I like this.
And you go, see, we can be nice guys.
You know what? So I would say, look, stop your nuke program and cut a deal with us. And all things will be forgiven.
But if only were that simple.
Yep. Okay, back to the calls we go. Let's go to Willard in Davis, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Willard. Go ahead.
Well, I'm glad to be on your program, and I was going to talk to you about the St. Clairs who sailed to Boston in 1398.
Where did they come from? They came from Scotland?
They came from Scotland. Uh-huh. They're part of the St. Clairs married the heiress to Norway, and they were given the Orkney Islands. I was knighted in Roslyn Chapel, and the reason I wanted to say that, there's ears of corn that are there, so we know they came before 1398 because Roslyn Chapel was built before that. So we know they got there. And the Military Order of Knights of Temple of Jerusalem, they went on the Third Crusade. I don't know if you know about them, and Jacques St. Clair, who was their partner, he was burned at the stake on Friday the 13th, 1309. And we know that they claim at Roslyn Chapel that they had the Ark of the Covenant, everybody did. And they brought it back to Oak Island, which is in Nova Scotia, and they came on over here. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention was China. There's a book it's called 1432. China actually came to North America in 1421, and they had the largest ship that had ever been built. They had a whole city on it.
Wow.
And there's evidence of that that came up the Sacramento River, and we have that here too.
Columbus must have had a great PR person.
Yeah, I don't see how he gets I teach at Oxford. And
he gets a holiday named after him and everything.
That's right.
It's a way to go, Christopher, to be sure. Let's line up. Keep making the calls. We'll get to you when I come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. And, gosh, I don't know what we're going to do about North Korea. I don't want to sound like I'm obsessed with this, but I just think it's probably one of our biggest issues that we have to face. And, you know, we better get together as a nation and get rolling here on this stuff, because we can't keep allowing this to happen and just, you know, act like nothing's going on. So, Mr. Trump, Mr. President, do what you were elected to do, and let's get this situation rolling, and let's get a consortium with Russia and China and get this fixed before half the planet goes, because we're really on the edge on this one. More than anything I've seen, worse than Syria, this is a concern. The guy just doesn't stop, and he's got to stop, and somebody's got to stop it. Anyway, we're going to come back in a moment with more open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, and as I've mentioned, we will have a live program for you on Independence Day, so we will be here for you. Don't, after you have your fun, your festivities, and whatever you may do, just come and listen to Coast, and it's interactive, so we'll take your calls, too. And welcome back to Open Lines here, Coast to Coast time. Let's go out to Kathy in Hawaii, west of the Rockies. You're on Maui, Kathy, aren't you?
I beg your pardon?
Are you on Maui?
Yes, I am.
Well, welcome to the show.
I'm a former user, but I live here now.
Well, great. Go ahead.
Oh, well, George, I'm calling because I was interested in the guest you had on talking about how the United States was populated in early times and discovered and all
mm-hmm.
that. And I was wondering if you'd ever heard of this author or researcher named Otto Muck, who wrote a book, I believe, in his 70s. I think I was in college when I read it. And he talked about how that the continent of Atlantis was in the Atlantic, off the coast by where the Azores are, and that when the civilization got all corrupt and the Atlantis sank, and the people there dispersed, the ones that survived. They went, some of them, to the Basque region of Spain, and they were the forebears of those people, and then they went to the other continents, too. Had you ever heard of that?
I sure have. He wrote the book in 1979. It was called The Secret of Atlantis.
Yes, yes. Has he been disproved or anything, or what's...
No, I mean, it's a great theory. He is no longer with us anymore.
Okay.
Or he would have been a great guest. He died back in he died before the book was published. He died in 1956.
Oh, wow.
But he had, there was another author that grabbed his information and ran with it. But a lot of our guests have quoted him, Graham Hancock being one of them.
Oh, okay. And, I love his books. Yeah,
he's good stuff.
So when are you going to come out to Hawaii? Me and my friends can show you around.
I got to come out there soon. I've got a studio on the Big Island, you know.
Oh.
So you never know.
Yeah, okay.
Aloha.
Aloha mai, and you have a great evening.
Thanks, Kathy. Tommy, what do you got for us? Nothing yet? No, he's not ready. Okay. Text or tweets. Work those phones, Tommy. Work those phones. And Skype is open at George97313. Let's go out to Miami, Florida. Gorky's with us. Hey, Gorky, thanks for calling.
Oh, my God. It's what a blessed day today it is. It's such an honor to speak with you, Mr. Norrie.
Well, I'm glad you got in.
And thank you, your coast-to-coast listeners, and my respects to the veterans past and present.
Thank you.
I also, oh, my God, there's so many things I want to say, but I'll just keep it. I hate to hear that, you know, poor Columbus always thrown under the bus. I mean, the Senate brought so many good things, you know, brought so many good things to this continent, and he established colonies and was the propagator of, you know, of those little, you know, cities and countries, that, including the one in Havana, and the horses being brought here to this continent,
sure,
by them, and turkeys. But anyways, you know, what really, really, every time I hear Independence Day and whatever, the one significant thing, two things, you know, he had El Conde del Valle, who's a viceroy in the center of Central America, of those forces and people from this Spanish country here in this the New World. He took 17 ships, went up the Mississippi, then fought the English there, then fought the English in Maine. They captured or killed over 10,000 English regulars. There were about 50,000 in the East Coast from Canada all the way down. And that helped a lot in the American Revolution. And the one point that is never mentioned, the island of Cuba, the women and the men, the only country at that time, well, we were a colony, contributed $2 million, $1 million in silver and $1 million in gold and whatever. It was taken by a Spanish ship and two French frigates all the way to the Potomac, was handed over to Washington. The Germans, the English, no country in sight would give this country 1 cent. And the American Revolution was in peril. It was Cuba. And it isn't ironic right now that we're keeping an embargo on that island.
That embargo's got to go, because to me that's ridiculous. You know, I mean, years, Castro's dead. His brother's there doing what he does. You know,
As a Cuban-American, I always say, let's open the country. It exposes the country. It really makes it, you know, see reality, makes the people see things as they are, and they themselves will change. But we keep this, you know, this thing that Eisenhower started, and it's continued on, and it's always. But $2 million that the 13 colonies were able to utilize, George Washington, gunpowder.
That's a great story. I didn't know that.
Oh, God. 1781 was able to arm the little army that he had against the 50,000 English regulars here. Was the first American bank was formed with that money, the second American bank in this country.
Thanks to Cuba.
Oh, no, well, the Cuban people.
Yeah.
They were, you know, they wanted to help this new rising country against the English. Of course, the English had come a few years before to the island, and they ravaged, you know, the people.
Sure.
And then
so,
they left.
So the Cubans did not forget what the English were like at the time.
They had a grudge. And when they saw that there's a American Revolution going on, you know, it was one opportunity. And what I'm trying to say is, when nobody cared about this country, nobody wanted to take a chance. And, you know, of course, some of the French are trying to take credit for it, you know, and then the English came over here and burnt the White House, or the Capitol, should I say. I mean, and we're still paying homage to them, but, you know, but we don't remember. We don't want to remember. Like, it's this revisionist history, like so much of the history in this country, revisionist history that says that it doesn't tell Americans that it was those $2 million that the Cuban people, colonists, that were second generation already Spanish, just before, a few years before we got our independence.
You know, you're saying, by the way, Gorky, what an interesting name. What's your nationality?
I'm Cuban American.
Okay.
Well, I'm Cuban. You know, I was born in Havana in 53.
Right. You did say that.
And so, you know, my parents brought me here, and I grew up in, you know, my dad was incarcerated. He came over here. And, you know, there's just too many people here with too much hate and too much.
Well, what is Gorky, you know, is Gorky your full name? Your real name?
No, Gorky's the first name, and my last name, if you'd like to. If I may say it, it's Carrillo.
So well, that's okay, but I've never heard of a name like Gorky.
There's a Maxim Gorky, the writer, of course, and there's a Gorky Mountain, and there's a Gorky Park, and the Gorky movie, of course. So I guess the only joy I get out of that is that, you know, it's not your usual name. So it's either Gorky, Porky, Horky, or whatever.
I love it. So all right, Gork, thanks. Thanks for the call, and keep us informed of Cuban-American relations. Tom? Text, tweet, what do you got?
We have a text, but wasn't that waiter that we ran into one time from Cuba?
Yes.
You remember that guy?
Yes, and he had tattoos, I remember that, and he was expelled or something because of his pro-American views at the time.
His tattoo said United States.
Yep, and so I brought him up on stage.
Yeah, I remember.
And people loved him. They loved him.
They totally loved him. Yeah. So we have a text from Brian in West Virginia. Hey, George, I've heard often that certain music groups can affect people who murder. Do you believe in this theory?
Well, look, here's my theory of people who kill like that. They're nuts. They're insane.
Here's my theory.
You could whistle
nuts.
A tune going down the street and they'll say it affected them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I mean, I've heard and you've heard all kinds of music. Together, you and I run from the 1940s on. And we've heard everything, and you know you've heard rock music that would not make you run out and kill somebody.
No.
You know, it's these people are nuts first. The music just helps them along.
But there's been bands that have been sued. It's crazy.
Well, have they lost?
No,
no, of course not. Okay, let's take a couple more calls. Let's go to Maura in Houston, Texas. Hello there. Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I hope you are, too.
Oh, yeah, I'm great.
Good.
So, the guest tonight, I'm sorry, I forgot. I've already short-term memory here.
Rick.
I forgot his name. Can you say that again?
Rick Osman.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
His name was Rick Osman.
Rick Osman. Okay, so I just wanted to comment on the ongoing question is, why Christopher Columbus? And the first thing that came to my mind was, and actually this is a perfect phrase from Gorky, who had just called revision of history, and that is, you know, just like the space race of the 20th century, when Christopher Columbus, quote unquote, discovered the Americas, I mean, it was like a navigational race for any superpower at the time. And also, so I believe that is what has the reason why it has become not just American history, but history in general.
Well, and also don't forget he had come in a time period where some of the callers are absolutely right. They kept records, and his timing was perfect. He got credit for a lot of these things. I don't think we should strip him of his credit for that. Keep Columbus Day and everything else. People have fun on some of those days. But it's interesting to note that so many other groups and countries and civilizations came here a long time ago. Tom in the Bronx. Hey, welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, George.
Hey.
I'd like to say that north of New York City in the Hudson River, they've found which wasn't explored too well, but they found a stone city in the river. Before the Hudson River was there, and what causes a river to happen is, do you know the way quicksand comes about? Do you know about quicksand?
You mean how it's made?
Yeah, how it happens.
It's like a sinkhole, actually, isn't it?
But here's what happens. There's underground water.
That's bubbling. That's always bubbling up.
Wait a minute. The underground river flows, and it meets like a big rock mass.
Mm-hmm.
And in the rock, when the rock mass is there, the water has no other place to go. So it comes to the surface and it causes a suction. That's what causes...
God, I'd hate to be in quicksand, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's what causes quicksand. But in other words, that's when the ground goes under, and that's how the rivers get formed.
I always used to watch these Tarzan movies, and, you know, the bad guy always fell into the quicksand, and there he went. I'm looking forward to our independence program, so stick with us. For Nathan Staten, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.